Welcome to Are You Down Podcast. I am Mike, and I'm joined here by my boy Connor. Two things, Connor. I changed my deodorant because we've had conversations about it recently, and I'm going to tell you, I really hate the feeling of it, so I might have to go back. But I don't want aluminum in my body. I think that's bad. Second of all, I got rid of Instagram. The app is gone. It's out of my life. I haven't gotten rid of my actual name, so follow me on Instagram if you want. But, Connor, what do you think about these two things?
Well, Mike.
Yes, Connor.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. Are you feeling the spirit of Thanksgiving?
I started to. I like the holidays because it kind of, especially working for a nonprofit, you kind of start to feel.
I don't like that you say you work for a nonprofit because you work for the YMCA, which is like the cheapest. That's like saying the NFL was a nonprofit.
But the Y is a nonprofit.
But the NFL was a nonprofit.
The NFL still is a nonprofit.
No, it's not.
Not anymore?
Not anymore.
Well, I work for a nonprofit. Yes, okay. The Y is a globally recognized thing. And it makes a lot of money, but it is a nonprofit.
Okay, that's weird to me. It's just like tax cuts.
It's not tax cuts.
Well, there's loopholes for them.
Listen, I don't look at it at the fucking conglomerate level. I look at it at my level, where I'm impacting kids every single day.
And how is your level?
My level?
Yeah, how is it?
It's the best. Good. I love it.
Yeah, you're
I'm having a lot of fun.
Good. That's really, I'm glad to hear, because, I mean, you were having trouble before.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was change the scenery. But I got a good team. It's all rounding into form. I like it. And then the holidays are going to hit even harder, and snow is going to start. I'm going to get stressed out.
Has it snowed in Massachusetts at all yet?
We've had flurries, but nothing major.
Nothing major.
Have you guys got hit yet?
Yeah, we had a couple of days. Up here in Maine, I mean, you kind of get hit a little bit quicker. But it hasn't been bad. Nothing bad. Nothing, like, ruining the streets or anything. But yeah, I think about you actually when I think about Thanksgiving now, because last year we were together.
We were. I actually, I was thinking about this. My mom brought this up that she was like, where were you last Thanksgiving? Were you sleeping in? I was like, no, I ran a 5K.
Yeah.
And then went and hung out with Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, we drove. So I was with you in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, you came 5K. Down the night before and we played basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And then we... Yeah, remember that was the kid that was talking trash the night before.
Oh, was that that was wait.
Yeah, yeah, because my roommate was still in town.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we had a little kid talk trash to us, even though he missed 100 shots before he got that one in.
I actually got a Facebook memory from that race 2 days ago. And oh, I ran an 8-minute flat mile, and I was like, holy shit.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's
I know you
pace.
Smoked me that day, though.
Well, let's not be picky on who's the better runner. But but the funny thing, Connor, is that I was, like, thinking about you, and I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and I was like, I like doing the turkey trot. I like turkey trots. I like when people kind of get together and do these community things. And it also, it brings something special to these holidays. So I signed up for a turkey trot at the local YMCA here at Bar Harbor.
Oh, nice. Look
but
at that. Represent.
The funny thing is, it's called the Turkey Chase because there is a person that dresses up like a turkey and runs the race. And if you beat that person with a turkey, or that person that's dressed like a turkey, you get put in a raffle or something like that.
How fast is the turkey?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. Because I'm not in peak Mike running shape. So I'm nervous.
But are you going to chase after this turkey if you see it?
I feel like if it's in my line of vision, I'm going to push myself a little bit more. But what if it's like a 6-minute flat turkey guy?
I bet they have to really handpick that turkey. Like, real good.
Yeah.
There's no stuffing in that turkey.
So my thing is, this turkey can't be overly impressive because your name, you're not getting a prize. You're getting your name put in a raffle to potentially get prizes.
What if it's an actual turkey?
Again, I'm sticking with my point of that actual turkey can't be that fast. How fast can turkeys be? They're not like ostrich fast.
I don't know, man. I was on 290 the other day, and this turkey was in the left lane, and I swear to God, that turkey was going at least 85 miles an hour.
85? So it was running along with your car?
Driving a car, but yes.
It was driving a car, I see. yeah, but another thing about Thanksgiving is that they're the football games. So we have three games. We had the Bears versus Lions. We had the Bills versus Cowboys. And the Saints versus Falcons. So that leads me to one question, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give a shit about football anymore?
No.
No?
That's it.
How's your fandom been this year?
I think it's been better than previous years. I think that my first couple years in Tennessee, it was super mediocre because I just wasn't watching football on Sundays.
You were watching on Saturdays.
I was watching on Saturdays.
Like a fucking animal.
Yeah, dude. I was freaking balling hard, playing rugby and watching college football. Hell yeah, brother.
There we go.
But no, I think spending a year in Colorado, going to like up to Fort Collins every 2 weeks to watch a game with you, it kept me glued to it. Fantasy football definitely helps, but no, this year it's just been kind of stagnant. Probably the one thing that is keeping me in is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's the
that
thing
definitely
keeping
has
me out.
Blew me. And then the fact that the Pats are definitely not super good, but like are still going to be in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, do you want to argue about Lamar Jackson? Or do you want to save that for another time?
Remind me what we talked about last time with Lamar Jackson.
My thing about Lamar is that he is incredible and he's a freak athlete. I don't think he's, like, I don't know. I feel like there's so much hype around him. And it's really, really, like, 80% scheme.
And my response to that is, so what?
I've been saying it's, like, So he's getting a lot of MVP conversations, and I think he deserves that. But I also want it to be like Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh get the MVP.
Well, I don't know if it's not Harbaugh. It's their offensive coordinator.
That's true.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head because Harbaugh is not the guy like that scheming this offense. But I go back to this, Mike, and we all know football is so much different than basketball in terms of like MVP and team success. It's all about the team and all the pieces around it and the scheme that it all fits into it. So I don't know why we're going to downplay a player of this talent and use these qualifiers such as scheme and then the players around them. Like, the best players aren't coming from shitty teams, and we don't really talk about them. Like, McCaffrey's amazing. I love Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
But he's got to have the ball in his hands to make plays, so he's got someone else giving him the ball. It's not like they're incompetent. Because if they were completely incompetent down in Carolina, we wouldn't be talking about McCaffrey. Pat Mahomes, it's not become Pat Mahomes without Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a valid point. I think you did a lot better bringing Kansas City up because you're like, I don't know. Carolina is kind of a dumpster fire. So, but I get what you're saying. Like, Mahomes would not have had that year last year if he didn't have those pieces around him and he didn't have an offensive-minded coach. I'm just saying, I guess for me personally, I see it more this year with the Ravens. That is like, I don't know. People are like, oh my God, this has never happened before. It's like, but it has.
But I don't know, because if you look at the weapons around Lamar, like they're not, outside of Mark Ingram, like there are a lot of guys that are pretty like run of the mill, man. Like if you look at a tight end like Mark Andrews, like he's okay. He doesn't blow your, like he's not one of the best tight ends in the league. They're running the ball hard with Pat Ricard, who I played against in high school, and then
yeah,
insert other like blocking tight ends. A lot of it is their scheme, but they schemed around Lamar Jackson so that he can succeed. And having all these big bodies on the field and allowing him to not only throw the ball last Monday for 15 to 20, 169 with 5 touchdowns,
yeah,
but also run for 8 carries, 95 yards. Like, that's insane. I don't know. Between him and Russell Wilson, I don't have my MVP pick right now, but I'm leaning towards Baltimore. And they make the game, he makes this game and the league that much more exciting.
Yeah, I guess I'm, like, timid on, like, giving it. Because I've seen this happen before, and it's really fizzled out pretty quickly.
You're right. I mean, we've seen it before. I think we talked about this last time, but the backup quarterback in Baltimore is the very guy that we all got hyped about a couple years ago. And that was Robert Griffin III.
Yeah. I guess the weird thing is that I'm like anti-Lamar because I was so into RG3. And, of course, I was super into Mike Vick. So maybe my heart's just been broken too many times from these people.
I think that you got to look at it from like how football's evolving, though, and how quarterbacks are evolving and how the sport's evolving in terms of scheme, where these coaches are starting to realize, hey, I have talented players. Let's put them in positions to succeed and not, oh, I have a great system. I'm going to plug this player into this system. I'm going to make it work. Coaches are starting to realize that's not the case anymore. Now, in defense of your argument, because this is how I like to play.
You like to flip-flop.
I do. If you look at the Rams were the wonder team from last year, and they're pretty mediocre this season.
Yeah.
Is that a product of Sean McVay's scheme? Or is it a product that Jared Goff's not a good quarterback and really wasn't statistically a good quarterback until last season? I don't know. I like to lean with the latter more than the former, but that's because I believe truly in the player talent compared to the scheme.
Ooh. Connor, some great points with that one. Let's move on to the Patriots. You brought up the Patriots, and you're like, it's hard to not be. Like, so I feel a little weird this year. Last year, I lived with my roommate Dave, who was obsessed with the Patriots. So I saw every single game, every single minute. And this year has not been the case because I live on my own. I work a job during the weekend, and it's just harder for me to kind of, like, motivate myself. And the biggest reason I have trouble being like a like an adamant football fan this year is because I'm on the East Coast, dude. I'm fucking tired for these night games.
Yes.
I'm these not going to stay up that late.
Suck.
I miss it so much, dude. Remember 11 o'clock games?
Dude, the fact that you could wake up at 8, get some stuff done in the morning, and have football at 11, and then all like the afternoon games are done by like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you could do something in the evening before the night game.
Yeah. And then the game ends at
like nine.
Like nine. And you're like, I can, and also if your team loses, you can like simmer down and relax yourself before you go to bed.
Oh yeah. I mean, the fact that one, don't get me started on the fact that it gets dark at 4 o'clock every day.
Oh, it's rough.
I hate it. I have to work out in the morning because by the end of the day, I'm just like, fuck everything.
Just sad.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Seasonal depression, man. That's a real thing.
I joked with my mom like 2 weeks ago. I was like, I think I'm going to move to Arizona. She's like, you just got back. I'm like, I can't take this you're weather.
Like, you're like, mom, you know daylight savings? Doesn't exist in Arizona. Pretty cool, right?
I'm like, I have opportunities down there eventually. Who knows?
I mean, they're looking for people all over the place there because no one wants to live there because it's like a million degrees all the time.
And also my former supervisor works for the Y down there.
Oh, right. Okay, let's talk about the Patriots.
Yes.
How do you feel about the Patriots?
Not great.
Really?
It's tough. So going back to last season, I remember feeling very much the same way, where I was very quick to jump all over them and wasn't impressed in their victories. I remember I was super high coming out of week one when we played Houston. Same thing this year when we beat Pittsburgh. And then, you know, we lost that Detroit game, and I kind of started to kind of ease back on the throttle a little bit. I'm like, okay, we'll be okay this year. The Tennessee game happens. We almost lose to Minnesota. Like, all these games kind of happen, and I'm, like, desensitized to it. We haven't had this moment this year where I regain that confidence. And even though we're 10-1 and our only loss is to Baltimore, there's games mixed in there where I'm like, this doesn't feel like all the way comfortable yet. Because even at 10-1, we have played one of the weakest schedules.
Yes.
And the offense is just not where I thought it would be. And granted, maybe Brady is playing it safer because of the defense, which I do think is really good. I don't think it's the best in the league. I know it is statistically, but I think just personnel-wise, it doesn't stack up with the 49ers. And I think the Saints is a really good defense as well. But, you know, it's a good Patriots team. But I really just want, when we play Kansas City, and Kansas City's reeling right now, but they're still a good team. When we play Kansas City in 2 weeks, that for me is going to be like the, okay, I feel good kind of game. Like it was last year.
Yeah.
When we beat Pat Mahomes on Sunday night, I was like, all right, I believe in this team.
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to not overreact because, yeah, their offense has been, like, just boring. Just, like, what is going on? Do we like Jake Bailey that much that we want all this punting?
Make this joke each week with my dad. I'm like, anytime, like, it's pretty consistent. First pass drive, 3 and out. I'm like, here comes the MVP of the team.
MVP of the team.
And my dad's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I'll make jokes like, all right, hear me out. Call of the Panthers, Christian McCaffrey for Jake Bailey and a second. Who says no? Who says
who
no?
Who says no?
Knocks him dead every single time.
Yeah, your
and then
dad
after
laughs
the fifth
time.
Jake Bailey joke, my dad's like, get out of my house.
Yeah, and you're like.
And I'm like, Dad, you drove me here.
Yeah. I'm going to mom's.
He's like, you already live there.
Yeah. Yeah, but this defense is good, and they're good with special teams, too. And it's like, I really like seeing that. I like seeing block punts, and that's the stuff that gives me confidence with the Patriots. And that's a big difference from the team last year and the team this year, is whereas last year we were seeing this happen during the end of the regular season. You're like, oh, my God, the Patriots can't play football anymore. What's going on? Is Tom done? And then the defense just completely turned into a new element when it came came playoffs. We're already seeing a good defense. So I like that. So I have confidence in this team.
I do too. It's just a matter of, so the one flaw that we didn't kind of get exposed to during, so the big game to look back at, at least the three games to look back at as a Pats fan are the Chargers game, the Chiefs game, and the Rams, where blow out the Chargers, have the back-and-forth battle with the Chiefs that we sneak into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then the Super Bowl itself, where we come out on the first drive, Brady just looks horrible because the Rams played, the Rams defense was really good last year.
Good defense.
Our
very expensive defense
matched the tempo, but Todd Gurley, we just all found out, had bum-ass knees.
Yeah.
Couldn't play. So he was a non-factor. And then CJ Anderson was meh. So we didn't get exposed on the run front. The run game could pose a threat to this Pats team moving forward. And the only thing is that in years past, because of our offense, we've been able to get out into early leads, forcing teams to throw the ball more, and that's where the strength of our team, our secondary, really does shine.
Yeah, this is the first year I ever was like, wow, we have so many weapons. And then went to the end of the, like, we're halfway through the season, and it's like, there it is. Nobody.
Yeah.
I feel normal again.
The biggest addition, I mean, the fact that Isaiah Wynn's back in the lineup, our left tackle,
that's
huge.
If
and then
stay
N'Keal
healthy.
Harry. Yes.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry.
Really, like, he, the one touchdown we had this past weekend was
beautiful touchdown.
It was a solid back shoulder ball. Great. Just like they drew it up.
Yeah.
But he's so physical.
Right.
And that's really been, for me, it's been a theme so far into, like, the early Celtics season as well as the Patriots season, is I want more physical players. And, like, the defense has stepped up to that. And then I'm going to rave about the Celtics here in a bit. But I like, Harry's going to be a force. And I hope that Brady just trusts him a little bit. But, you know, it'll be a good game against Houston this weekend. And, I mean, the AFC outside of the top two is pretty meh, so.
Right. Let's talk physicality, and I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation, okay, Connor, are you ready?
This is just, here we go.
I'm just thinking this up in my head. So say hypothetically you're in a game, and you see someone get real mad, and, you know, like, I don't know, does something like pulls a helmet off of someone's head and then hits him in the head with the helmet. How would you feel about seeing that?
Am I Ben Simmons or am I me?
You're Ben Simmons in this, obviously.
Oh, if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm running in. I'm going to choke out
the guy.
Yeah,
you're going to choke that guy out. That's the correct answer.
If I was playing in football, if any kind of football game, if a fight breaks out, I'm either, depending on how close I am with a player, I'm running in to try to break it up, or I'm sitting there just like, well, holy shit.
Yes.
It's a fight.
That was insane. Myles Garrett took the helmet off. Was it a kicker?
No, so
I got lost in who it was. Oh.
So the Browns are up big. The game's already getting chippy. Miles Garrett sacks or hits Rudolph after the play. They're kind of like jawing at each other. I think Rudolph tries to like push him to get off, and then they're still talking as they get up. And so like they get this little scrum going, and they're both – Rudolph is trying to pull his helmet off too. But then Garrett rips it off, swings it at him, does connect with Rudolph's ear. So he starts bleeding, and then it's just all hell breaks loose after that.
It's a mess.
A complete mess.
Is that too much physicality for football?
I want you to go first, and then I'll follow up.
I don't – have they made a verdict on
– He's suspended indefinitely.
Indefinitely. I'm fine with – I mean, it's not cool.
Or for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's not cool to take a helmet off and try to hit someone in the head with it. You kind of know you fucked up. So I'm cool with Miles Garrett getting suspended for the end of the year. I think the talk of it, like, overlapping to next year is silly. And it's just, like, I don't know. Like, the whole – there's, like, racial, like, things bleeding into it and all this stuff. And it's just, like, I don't know. I don't think you should hit someone in the head with a helmet. That's supposed to protect your head, not hurt it.
Agreed. There was plenty of, like, hypotheticals thrown out there about, like, if I was in the workplace and I took my laptop and beat you over the head with it, like, I'm in the wrong. Like, no matter what you said.
Right.
But because it's sports, there's, like, different leeway, and we can talk about, like, bracketed morality in the sports forever. Like, that was one of my favorite topics to talk about in grad school. But no, you're right. It's too far. There was no need to, one, rip off his helmet, and then the fact that he swung it, it's just, like, in the moment, that's just a bad situation. And Garrett knows it. Like, yeah. Garrett's not stupid. He'll say what he needs to say, but he took his suspension. He did try to appeal it. Didn't happen. He didn't piss and moan. He's like, all right, well, I fucked up. I'm sorry. And we move on.
Yeah, and let me be clear. I love Miles Garrett. I think he's one of the most talented defensive players in the year. I mean, in the league. And he's a good guy. And he has an incredible work ethic. But I also think there's this extended responsibility that you have to have as like a 6'8" giant. And you need to have that self-control to know that. Because he can like, he could kill someone with that swing.
Yeah, like, this dude's videos on Instagram of like frat boys taking like the helmet they had from their JV football days. And they broke it over like a wooden chair. And the chair broke in half.
Right.
Like a helmet connecting with you at full force is, it could kill you.
Right. And that's also in like, also I'm 6 feet tall and I'm 167 pounds.
What, are you flexing right now?
Yeah. I'm ripped is what I'm saying. I'm 6 feet, 167. So I don't know what it is to carry around that responsibility and like to have that self-control. That's probably really fucking hard. So
especially in the middle of a game too.
Exactly. Like, when you're in the intensity and if like shit's said about you, that's so tough to have that impulse control.
Have you ever had a moment playing a sport where you felt that rage? Not that you did anything stupid, but like in the moment you're like, I could do something stupid right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have done that before. I was a freshman on the soccer team and I was on the JV soccer team and someone was just like giving me shit the entire game. So I took it out on another kid and there was a throw in and he went up for like a header and I just like speared him in the chest and I got a yellow card and I had to go talk to the athletic director and I was like in tears because I was so disappointed with myself. It was such a weird situation.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I did that. So I actually, that's proof that I don't have the control with sports. Whereas like I've told you before about that little girl calling me a tattletale.
Yes.
In class. And that's where I had to experience the impulse control. I couldn't say, hey, you mean little girl.
Hey.
I'm not a fucking rat. Yeah.
I'm not a That's still one of my favorite rants.
Yeah.
In the history of us doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Ariana presents anger.
Yeah. But, Con, do you want to talk about some other things?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay, so I want to fill you in. I had a pretty exciting life the past couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this. You did a reading up at Freedom Cafe in Durham, and you were one of the headliners on the set list?
I don't think it works like that. There was like six speakers and we all had the same amount of a lot of time. But so I went to the Freedom Cafe, which I've been involved with, but there's this organization called What's Your Story, and it organizes an event where the speakers get to tell stories about their lives and stuff like that. So I went in, I had a comedic story about me being a germaphobe as a kid. And the whole premise of my story is to talk about my anxiety and my mental health in kind of a lighthearted nature, but also being brutally honest about how it's plagued me in certain ways and benefited me in others. And it was super fun, but the whole premise of my story is that I watched my childhood, well, when I was a kid in middle school, I watched the remote to my TV because it touched a spot on the couch where my sister's butt cracks touched. So it's a ridiculous premise. But it has a real, I mean, it's about me trying to accept my anxiety and all these things. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. It was really cool. I had about a 10-minute slot and it was nice. But then there was these people talking about being homeless in the United States for like 2 years because he was from Ghana and his grandmother instilled like good values into him. And then he had an opportunity to play soccer in the United States. And she's like, never come back if you want to accomplish the goals you want to accomplish in life. So he's trying to fight his way to stay in America because he lost his visa at the time. And then he made it, and he's a father now, and he's learned so much. And he's not like, oh my God, my life's been so tough. He's like, oh my God, I'm so fortunate for what I've experienced and what I was able to experience. And then there's a woman talking about a childhood of anorexia and having to deal with it and it causing infertility and all these things and how she's overcome that. Then there's a man that literally went to the source of global warming and was staying in oil fields and because he wanted to feel this connectedness to it instead of saying, oh my God, global warming is a problem while we're sitting in our fucking heated houses. And then there's someone talking about her mental health where she made a comic book. And it was so cool. And there was a bishop that talked about depression and how, as a religious figure, he's seen as a positive, happy guy and he wanted to kill himself. And these people came up to me and they're like, that was an inspiring story. I talk about fucking butt cracks.
Yeah, but I think, all right, you're leaning too much into that comedic angle because if you go ahead and watch that video that Mike posted, you know, towards the end, like you really start to dive into the nitty gritty of your anxiety and your insecurities with your germophobia as a kid. And it's a real honest, real thing that you experienced. And I think that's why it's inspiring. It's not, you added the comedic aspect to it to kind of help talk about what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I think I used comedy as a platform to feel comfortable talking about our hardships and stuff. And it was really, it was one of the best experiences of my life. It was a life-changing night, and I'm glad I was a part of it. And it's like the happiest I've fucking been for like a 10-minute like span, like being on stage and doing that. It was fucking incredible. And my parents came, and they're super supportive, and that was incredible. It was just fucking insane, man.
I'm happy for you because probably like what, a year ago or so, you kind of really started to dive into writing and back into writing and doing it therapeutically and then sharing it online and on Facebook. And then you've done a couple open mics here and there, did that stand-up comedy sesh in Colorado. Like, dude, you're doing what you want to do and you're expressing yourself in a creative way. And I dig it. You're doing what you want to do.
Yeah. And hopefully I can keep doing it, but also like, I really just want to advocate people being open about this stuff. There's been this whole wave of like rah, rah mental health. And I it's kind of fucking annoying.
It's Can you kind go further so on that,
yeah, there are some things that are amazing about it. I think people should be open, but like it's one of those things I'm like really close to the fire with that shit. So it's weird for people to be like, we should acknowledge mental health. It's like, no shit. Like, where the fuck was this when I was a kid?
So okay, I had so this like I, a,
So, so I had this, like, aggression. Like
every else, yeah, it's just like every other, like, social issue where as soon as it starts to become, like, a trending topic, people jump in just so that they can feel like they're a part of it and then get seen in a certain light.
Right.
And you're like, you don't fucking care. Like, you're just saying it to, like, I don't, I get what you're saying with that. I don't like to do that because it's just like, okay, well, we're still talking about it. Like,
well, that's it. Then that's what I'm saying. That being said, I still opened up about it and I want to express it and it felt amazing. And I want to advocate for other people to do that. And like, I mean this, I put this in my post. It's like, if anybody wants to tell me about their story, like, please talk to me. Like, sometimes it's just good to have a listening ear. And some people just want to vent. People don't want to profit and get likes and stuff like that. Like me, that's fine. But, but like, yeah, man, people just want to vent. Everybody wants someone to listen to.
Well, I'm stoked you got to be a part of that, dude.
Yeah, it was a really, it was an incredible night. But it was so cool. Just like people came up to like, I really liked your story. I was like, I really liked your story. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's really, and you were nervous about that too, right? Because you told me about this, like the lineup, and you said you were like going in front of someone that actually was a part of human trafficking, right?
Oh no, yeah. So I followed a girl who was the outcome of human trafficking. So her mom was a sex laborer or sex labored. I don't know what terminology is right, but and then she talked about like how she saw her mom as a mom and not as a prostitute and things like that, and how she overcame that and made it to the United States to create change. And I was nervous because I talk about my first lines are talking about how I pee in urinals and it gets on my shins. So I wash my shins in a middle school bathroom. And I was like nervous about how to do this correctly. I was like, how do I ease into this? How do I make this still a good experience when this is the crowd? The crowd came because they know about like the fight against human trafficking that the Freedom Cafe does. So I leaned into it immediately. And I was like, that was an inspiring story. Now here's a story about butt cracks. And then I went into my story right away. And I said, feel free to laugh at my childhood. And honestly, I think my set was really good for the overall experience of the night, because then people were prepared for an eclectic taste of stories, because a lot of them are different. Some of them were like slideshows. Some of them were very serious. Some of them were, I don't even want to say lighthearted for me, but I guess it overall is probably lighthearted compared to the others.
But that's good though, because it's just a good kind of snapshot of life, right? Like we all deal with things every single day, but we all deal with them in a different way, you know? And I think how you each person portrayed the stuff they wanted to talk about, portrayed their story, it just kind of shows the journey that they're on and who they are as a person. And you are someone that is very lighthearted and positive and funny, and you use that to try to lift people up, even when you're telling a story about your own issues.
Yeah, recently I was talking to a friend who I just made out here in Bar Harbor, and she described me as bubbly. And that, like, threw me off at first, because I don't see my...
It makes sense, though.
Yeah, no, and I am. I really am lighthearted, and I am bubbly. I am bubbly when people first meet me, but also it's, like, it's weird. It was weird for me to hear at first, because it's, like, I have a lot of feelings, and I have a lot of different flows to myself, but, like, I don't see my, like, I see myself all the time. I'm with myself all the time. And it's like, it's interesting to see someone that I work with say, this is how you present yourself in that 8 hour span.
Sometimes it's refreshing to get outside perspective.
Yeah, it's refreshing. It's also like, yeah, it's good. It's good to be like, oh, this is how I represent myself. Do I feel like I have to do that all the time? Or can I come in as a different person and still do my job well and still be a caring, compassionate person? Or do I need to be bubbly to do that stuff?
I think you just are what you are. And if you start to think about it, that's when you start to become disingenuous.
Right. When you're trying to force it and you're trying to be someone you don't feel like you are that day. That's a tough thing.
It is hard to put on that face. And that's kind of a reality in today's day and age, especially working in the service industry where people do want to see you in that way because it helps lift them up. And that's where I kind of take solace in it, where even if I'm feeling shitty and I can lift up someone else, like, it does help me feel better, even a little bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're both the same way. We're both kind of a happy-go-lucky personality when we're with, like, our acquaintances and stuff. But, yeah, I feel like a lot of times I have trouble because I feel like I have a responsibility to be that guy. So when people are like, is something wrong? I feel terrible. I'm like, oh, no, I've let them down. Like, I have this sad face on. I want to have this smile. I want to help them smile. But that's just me putting a responsibility on myself that I don't need.
Mm-mm. You're right.
And I feel like you do the same thing.
I definitely do the same thing. But I'm starting to realize that in my role, where I'm supervising people my age but aren't at the same level that I am, in terms of not even just like job-wise but life-wise, it's weird being seen as a mentor when I honestly have shit figured out either, you know? When people are asking for your advice or like trying to talk to you about stuff and ask you your opinions and they really like look at you and you're like, dude, why are you looking at me? I haven't done shit yet.
But you know? But let me ask you this, Connor. Do you feel like you're a good mentor?
I don't know.
See, the thing is, I think you are, but that's such a tough question, right?
Yeah. I don't know. There's nothing that, like, the only thing, because I look at a mentor and I want someone that's like, I'm going to put you in the right position, but that's not, a mentor is not a one-size-fits-all, like, description. I could also look at it and say, are you supportive of the people around you and provide what you need, they need in that moment? To that answer, I say, yeah. I try to be available to everybody I can be and make sure that everybody's good. Sometimes I do it too much so that I don't let them be their own person and be their own staff, but I don't know. I do what I can. I play my role.
You're a role player, bud.
I am a role player.
You still got to write that story.
I know, dude. It's.
I think you should write a story, and I think everybody else should try to write a story. Also, journaling is amazing because then you can do it and never have to show anybody, but at least you got it out there. You can get your deepest, darkest secrets out on paper, and you can either read them and be like, this is utterly ridiculous, or you could be like, okay, I'm glad I could validate those feelings at the time. Because that's the thing with me, and that's why I can't keep things inside, especially in relationships. I tell my significant other every possible problem I have to the point where they're like, maybe we should chill out.
Do you lead off? I think we're in the same boat where we kind of like lead off with like our insecurities and our problems. Like,
oh, projecting like crazy.
Oh yeah. We throw it out there from the jump because we feel like it's a double-edged sword, right? Because we feel like we're sharing and being vulnerable and letting you know like who I am as a person. But at the same time, I'm ranting to you because this is how I'm feeling right now. And like, I got to tell someone or I'm going to go fucking crazy.
Right. And life's also like day to day. So you're like the next day, you're like, oh, I feel great. I feel like I shouldn't have said all that shit I feel yesterday.
We are very much like, you and me are very much like roller coaster type people.
Yeah.
Where like, it's hard to kind of stay even keel. But when we're up, dude, we're fucking like A1. But when we're down, we're like, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Just all over the place. Yeah, but let's go back to sports, man. Thanks for listening to me talk about my experience. It was really fun. You didn't go, and I hate you for it, but but it's okay.
Hold on. You said you didn't want us to go.
I said I'll never forgive you if you don't go, so.
Well, I also, as soon as you asked me to share your video on Facebook, I shared that shit.
That is really sweet. Also, a weird thing. When you ask your friends to share a video on Facebook, it's nice to, it shows a literal number of the friends that are willing to support you. And yes, it's and lower than you'd think.
And it's 2 out of the 3 people that you texted.
Yes, but I also had to text Dan and say, hey, please share this. I had to remind him.
Well, you didn't have to remind me.
I didn't have to remind you. You're on it right away.
Because I know what we're talking. I'm on the grind, too.
Yeah, you're on the grind. See, you get it. But it's funny. It's like,
we're a team.
I'm like this, I fucking, dude, I love writing. I love it more than anything I've ever loved. And it's embarrassing to say that. But at the same time, it feels very freeing to say that. But if you tell your friend that, they're like, that's incredible that you just admit that. I was like, yeah, can you help me support this by just sharing my fucking video? They're like, I don't really share things, man. It's like, oh, fuck you.
Oh, I don't share things. Who fucking cares? Just share.
Yeah, so.
But don't comment on people's posts. The amount of people I see share things that I want to comment on and just be like, you're fucking stupid. I resist because I don't want to be one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get anywhere near cyberbullying or just like being an asshole.
I'm already spending too much time on my phone as is. I don't want to be glued in as my phone blows up from notifications of calling me a liberal snowflake.
You're like, Rob, you're so mean to me sometimes.
He does that via text.
Yeah, let's talk about basketball.
All right, where do you want to start?
Do you want to talk about the Celtics first, or do you want to talk about how there's other basketball that we forget to acknowledge?
Let's talk about other basketball, and we'll circle back to the Celtics.
Okay, let's talk right away, teams you're impressed by in the East.
Teams I'm impressed by?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to cheat and say the Celtics is one of them. That's my third.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about them later. But I do have two that I am very impressed with right now. And lo and behold, they're at the top of the standings. It's the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors.
Okay.
I'm impressed. One, have you seen, I know you just deleted Instagram, but the Miami Heat have those Vice City jerseys.
Yes, I know those.
And they just dropped these light blue ones.
Are they sick?
They're called the Miami Vice Wave jerseys.
Okay.
Dude, they're fucking fwick. I'm like, dude, can I buy a Tyler Herro jersey? Like, can I do that?
No, you can't. Let me tell you right now. No, you can't.
Mike, I'm still in college.
I don't give a shit.
I'm going to wear it to a darty.
If I saw anybody wearing a Miami Heat jersey in the East Coast, I would be immediately pissed off. You would ruin people's days by having that.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would ruin my day.
What if I wore just like a t-shirt jersey?
Of the Heat? I saw a dude wearing a Miami Dolphins hat today, and I was like, what's wrong, bud?
He definitely got that out of Marshalls.
Also, come on. Let's talk about football just for one more second.
Yep.
Biggest surprise of the year, the Dolphins not being the worst team.
No, that's the Bengals.
Exactly. Talk about the Bengals really coming in clutch with losing. Congratulations, Andy Dalton. You found something you can do.
Yeah, the Bengals were like, everybody had the Dolphins penciled in as the worst team. The Bengals said, wait just a darn minute.
Yeah, Bengals were like, talk about this hype train. I'll show you who's got this. Andy Dalton of the Red Rifle. Pick.
Andy Dalton's actually been injured.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
He actually hasn't been a part of it. He's coming back now.
How long has he been injured for?
I think like for the majority of the season.
Well, never mind. What the fuck do I know?
You know, I don't fucking care about
that. Not a football fan anymore.
No. But no, the Miami Heat are sitting pretty at the third spot or the second spot right now in the East. And dude, Jimmy Butler leading the way.
Okay. That's great, Connor. That's really cute.
It's just like that team has got some talent around it, dude. They've been building slowly but surely. They have a trade to make, too.
They do have a trade to make. If there's another person put next to Jimmy Buckets that I like, I'll have this conversation. But Jimmy Buckets he's out. I'm out of having in the conversation of someone I actually trust to win games.
What about some of their fun guys on there? Like, you have Kendrick Nunn, this kid that just come out of nowhere at two guard, and he's just a bouncy two guard, gets buckets, dude. You have Dragic down there still. Like I just said, Tyler Herro out of Kentucky, just a pure gunner, dude. Love it, dude. They're just fun, dude.
The Heat is a classic. Yeah, the Heat's a classic. Connor's going to like this team, and Mike is not going to really give a shit.
Well, when I buy my Tyler Herro shirt and wear it to play basketball with us when you come back for Christmas, don't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. Let's talk about Toronto, though. I am also impressed with Toronto, and I'm happy for them. Because they're like, all last year, they're like, hey, we're fucking good. And
let's go back to the first NBA pod where I talked about
this team. Feel bad. I'm really pulling it back, hoping that people didn't remember that I was really anti-Toronto. But
you were so anti-Toronto.
All last year, people were like, we're good. And I and everybody else was like, Kawhi's amazing. Not acknowledging how good the team was. So it also helps that Siakam is like, really fucking good.
Yeah, but he, like, there were so many flashes this last season. And obviously, like, we kind of, it got overshadowed because of Kawhi, naturally. But the dude's got it. I don't know if it's sustainable. There's a part of me that doesn't believe in Siakam as much as everybody else does.
He's so clunky. Like a,
he it's super clunky. He's super raw still, but if he does, I mean, he's going to figure it out. It's just a matter of if this level is sustainable. But you're seeing, but it's not, my guy, Fred VanVleet, now that's a shirt I might buy.
Yeah, I still don't support that, but I think it's past the point. Like, the argument's been happening long enough that I think you're allowed to get it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because he's been relevant for long enough that you're like, okay.
And he's averaging 18 points on the season.
Yeah, I like VanVleet. Like, don't get me wrong, I just don't think he's jersey-buying quality.
Not jersey, t-shirt.
Sorry. Sorry.
They're only $30.
That, what?
It's because it's got the Nike swoosh on it.
That's so expensive.
Wait till I get you your birthday present.
You're going to spend $30 on my birthday present?
Yeah.
I didn't get you one, though.
This has been in the works for a while.
I didn't get you a birthday present, though.
It's okay.
Are you just saying that, or do you actually mean that?
I actually mean it.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Because I'm going to get you something that I should have got you a long time ago.
Tell me more about Toronto.
Really, the biggest thing is that without Kawhi, they're still one of the top teams in the East, and it does start with Siakam, but it does trickle down. And a guy that was injured last season that is starting to step back up and fill. So obviously they're not going to be able to replace Kawhi, but they can replace him in players and parts. And OG and Obi coming back this season has been a huge boost to them physically and defensively.
Yeah. I'm going to add another team just because I want to make fun of him. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You're putting the Bucks as your most impressive team?
I'm very impressed with Giannis because he can dominate offensively. He can score 50 points in a game like he recently did.
Oh,
and he can shoot 59% from the line. What's going on with that?
He's got the yips.
Yeah, he's just hiccuping every time.
No, not the hiccups, the yips.
I know, but I think the yips remind me of hiccups, and that'd be really funny if he just like has a serious problem with the hiccups.
You saw it in the Bucks Celtics game. There's a hitch right now in his free throw shot, and it's in his head. It's all mental right now with him, but the dude is still on a tear. He's in the top percentage, or he's leading the league in PER, and is definitely a clear, in a way, MVP candidate to start the season. But Milwaukee, I don't know. Milwaukee, to me, just didn't do enough this offseason. I really think the Middleton thing is going to come back and bite them. It's just a matter of time. Indiana is sitting at 6 right now, minus fucking my guy, Oladipo.
Wait, you don't like Middleton? I'm confused.
No. I just think, not Middleton. I think that,
Brogdon. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I do like Middleton.
I thought that was a really good extension.
I just think that without Brogdon, they're just in a weird I don't know. There's just something. I don't trust that team yet.
What I like about the Pacers this year is how well Malcolm Brogdon's been playing. Because it does show that he can be a 20-point scorer.
Yes, and that's why it's like a twofold thing. I look at the Pacers, and I haven't been following the Pacers a lot. I'm waiting for Depot to come back. But the fact that Brogdon's out there averaging 18, 19 points a game, that's got to sting if you're Milwaukee. Like, you could have had that guy. And then they could be a Chris Paul candidate, and that would have put them over the top in the East. If they got Chris Paul right now, I think it would still make them the clear team, but I would not put them, like, clear and ahead of every other team in the East. And we're not even talking about Philly right now because they've been on a slump, but...
Yo, Embiid got 0 points in a game.
Against the Raptors.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What's going on, big guy?
It is cool to see that a team like Toronto and even a team like this, like defense is reigning king early on in the NBA season.
Yes,
the best
I like
defensive
that.
Teams are near the top of the league. And that'll even out because that's just how the NBA season works. But
you get tired and your defense gets sluggish.
Oh, yeah. But the fact that these guys are coming out energy wise from the jump. And I do think that the change in the schedule and having more days off in between does help that intensity every single night. But there will come a lull. January, February, where this is going to fall back off, and we're going to see some big scoring nights. But it definitely proves promising when some of the best defenses coming out of like Toronto and Boston and Philly. It's going to be fun come playoff time.
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge that the teams are very different this year than last year. So it doesn't surprise me that we've had a really exciting start to the season. Because look at the top teams. I mean, you have the Lakers, the Clippers, the Celtics, Toronto without Kawhi. Milwaukee's pretty much the same, so they're not really in this. Philly's complete. These teams are completely different than they looked last year. So they're coming out saying, look at us. We're fucking good, and we want to prove that. So it doesn't surprise me that this has been, like, so exciting.
The other thing in the East to look at is that the majority of, like, the teams under 500 are in the Eastern Conference. And so these East teams are going to be playing against these teams more often than the West teams. So we're going to see a lot of inflated teams near the top this season. It's going to look, I mean, obviously it's been the same thing for the past couple of years, but I think it's more so distinguished this year because as much as we thought it was super top heavy at the East, we are starting to see teams really round into form and be potential contenders. And I think that the Celtics and Toronto, while not there yet, are two teams that could be sneaky in the conference finals. This is just a super early prediction, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, what are some Western teams that you like?
My two Western Conference teams, I'm going to do a cop-out because I've just been super impressive with the Clippers so far. That team is just amazing. I watched the Celtics Clippers game.
What a fun game.
That was a super fun game.
What a fun game.
Right down to the wire. And again, defense. Like, the offenses were super stagnant, but the defense was just so impressive. The fact that, like, Marcus Smart's going against Kawhi, and Kawhi's not budging him off a spot, because that was the thing. Like, Kawhi's super fucking strong, and he showed that last season. But the fact that Smart stood there, Marcus Smart, man, defensive player of the year.
Yeah, man, you're really – I don't want to talk about the Celtics yet. I want to talk about Doncic first, but you're making it very troublesome.
I know.
Because you keep bringing them up.
Because
I want to talk about Smart, too.
The Clippers are my cop-out team, but my two picks for the West are the Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns.
Okay, the Suns are starting to slip, and that makes me worried. Because it's like I've been adamant for the Suns for, like, the entire time we had this podcast. I'm like, they're 3 years away. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, we're getting to that point. I need to prove my point. But they're not amazing. So there's that.
Okay, but you don't need to be amazing to be at the bottom of the league and then come back and be halfway decent, especially with this collection of players, which is fun, by the way.
Yeah.
Aaron Baines, averaging 14 a game.
Really? Who solid start this season. Yeah. Scored like 20 points in a game recently.
Yeah, I feel stupid that the Celtics let him go.
Yeah. Oh, a quick point to the Clippers and Paul George and Kawhi together. Everyone knew it's going to work well. It's just very satisfying to actually see it. And I love, because it's like, it's so different to see LeBron and Anthony Davis. Well, that's actually a good pair. But that's a good pair defensively. But like, Kawhi and Paul George are known for being really, really good defenders, even though they're amazing elite scorers. And that's so satisfying to see these two-way players next to each other.
Yes, the fact that they easily can guard 1 through 4, and then depending on the 5, could lock up 5 positions defensively between 2 players. Having those 2 guys on the floor as well as Harrell, it allows you to play a guy. And Pat Beverly, allows you to play Lou Williams in the clutch because you have 4 defenders that are going to be able to back him up at all times. Just makes the Clippers such a complete – that lineup is so complete.
Lou, go not play defense. He's like, okay, I got this.
Like, I haven't been for the past couple years.
Yeah, jokes on it. Let's talk about the Mavs, though. Doncic, man. Fuck.
So I said that Giannis was leading the league in PER. And as a top MVP candidate, Luka's number 2.
Yeah, Doncic's really taken a leap from last year in the best way possible.
And a bound, dude. Leap and a bound.
Yeah, it's fucking fun. And
the fact that he's averaging, hear this, 30.6, 10.1 rebounds, 9.8 assists, 17 games into the season, astounding. The only other player that's averaging more, I think it's LeBron James and Giannis.
Yeah. It's also fun to see LeBron care about basketball for a while. Can't wait to see that disappear in 2 weeks, but
it's coming.
It's coming. It's coming
He's
quick.
He's going to take that trip to Miami.
Also, I was about to say I like Kawhi and Paul George better than LeBron and Anthony Davis because of the defense. But Anthony Davis is incredible at defense. And when LeBron actually plays defense, it's insane.
Once we get that... We're going to get another liquor, liquor, liquors, Lakers. I'm combining the Lakers and the Clippers together.
Right.
We're going to get another LA-LA game coming up soon. It's going to be fun TV for sure.
It's going to be really fun.
But the Mavericks are, they play the Lakers tough a couple weeks back. My question is, Mike, I don't know how much you've been following the Mavericks team, but Porzingis has not been starting off slow, or fast, rather, with this team.
He's had a rough go of things.
I think the biggest reason is the adjustment to Luka.
So he's not the centerpiece anymore.
Correct.
Porzingis is not the centerpiece.
Because Porzingis was drafted to be the centerpiece in New York and was kind of early on, I mean, even with Melo there for a little bit, but Porzingis was the guy. And he's now not the guy because Luka demands the ball and needs the ball in his hand to be super effective for this Mavericks team.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. My thing about Porzingis is I like him as a player and I hate him as a person now. So it's tough for me to not be biased. But I think he's a smart enough player that he'll adjust. I still think he's a really good key player for a team, but he might be meant. He's never been challenged mentally because he's been on garbage Knicks teams his entire life. So he could drop 40 and he can have a game where he shoots 30 shots and gets four in and everyone says, who gives a shit? He's on the fucking Knicks. So I don't know if he's mentally strong or not. And I think this will be really defining for him in his career.
But I think he's playing alongside a guy like, I don't know about you, but if I was playing alongside a guy like Luka, I would just be hyped to go out there and play every single night.
Because
Luka's going to get, like, Porzingis, he is a big, but he's not a traditional big. And he wants to shoot, or he can shoot from the outside. He can stretch the floor. He can attack the lane, too, and the fact that Luka is so effective attacking the basket and be able to create space for everybody else, it just makes it easier for Kristaps. The one thing that you look at when you look at an optimal offense like Steph Curry and the Warriors is that when you have all that attention on Luka, it opens up these lanes for three-on-two drives from a guy like Draymond, and Draymond's so effective at that. Kristaps could totally do that. He could definitely up his assist game and his playmaking, and the fact that you'd then have 6'7" Luka as a playmaker, and then 7-foot Porzingis as a secondary playmaker / shot maker. That's not fair. That's not fair at all.
No, I agree. And it's like, think about how good and important Draymond was 4 years ago. And then he stopped hitting shots, and that was tough. But they didn't need him to hit shots because they had KD and Klay at that point. Mm-hmm. But if Porzingis can be that, that's huge. Draymond
it's
was
super
so
huge.
Good and important.
Exactly. And he doesn't have to be this like stalwart on defense either because they can fill in role players around him because of that offensive prowess. You're looking at, this is, hear me out on this one. This is very much a European combination of LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, you like that?
I love that. Should they get Rajon Rondo next to the two of them?
No, they have J.J. Barea.
They have J.J. Barea.
But Jarrett, he's actually,
So they should get Ricky Rubio.
They should get Rubio, Phoenix Suns.
Boom. Ricky!
But I like the Mavs. The Mavs took it to Houston over the weekend. That was a good game. No one watched it because football was on, but...
No, that was great. I like the Mavs. I loved the game against the Celtics because you saw Luka go off and get really into it. And get in this kind of competition with some people sitting on the floor. But then the Celtics won convincingly in the end. So that was wonderful to watch.
Who's your second? Who's your other team?
I don't even have another. Oh, no. I do have another team. It's a team that's near and dear to my heart that's not the Celtics. The Denver Nuggets, man.
Oh, the Nuggets.
I love the Nuggets. The Nuggets are for real, man. I mean this. They're
for real.
They're not just like, it's fun, it's exciting.
Go
I'm
on.
Saying if they can find a game-closing player that they can trust for a season, they're going to be in the conference finals.
That's a big ask, Mike.
That's a big ask. That's what I'm saying. So they'd have to be either Lakers or the Clippers, which is what we're probably seeing right now. But I'm telling you, man, this team is good, and they play incredible defense. And Jokic is getting those fucking game winners, which is great. But can they continue to trust him for that? Can they trust him in playoffs for that stuff?
Is he in shape?
No, he's Jokic. He's never going to be in shape.
No, never. The Nuggets haven't played either LA team yet. They'll have Los Angeles on December 3rd, the Lakers, rather. So that'll be your first real test if you're Denver. We'll see what how they do.
I love that. I love the lineup. I mean, you have Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, and Jokic. Those are players that play so well together.
It's definitely a team that last year they kind of peaked early. If you're looking at the team, like a young team that's homegrown, this is the year for them to take that next step forward and be. I mean, this team, talent wise, comparatively speaking, should be a top four team in the West. Easy.
Right.
Will they push for the final spot in the conference finals? I don't know, because the West is loaded.
Yeah. But I'm completely out on Houston.
So I am too. I don't, like, I think we talked about it last pod that I think that Houston's going to be, or we did in the rapid fire NBA stuff. I said that Houston's going to be overrated.
Yeah. You want to
season's end.
You know what's pretty crazy, Connor? I just remembered at this second that Russell Westbrook is on Houston.
Yeah.
I completely forgot. Like, this entire conversation, I forgot that.
Well, the early story in the NBA is the Clippers and the Lakers, and then it's Giannis and Luka. Like, that's really dominated the headlines. Even though Harden, I'm pretty sure, is averaging like 30-plus points a game.
Yeah, people don't give a shit because they're like, oh,
no,
it's
because
James
we've
Harden.
Seen that before, and it's like, okay, the Houston Rockets, whoop-de-fucking-do. Like, prove it. I mean, Houston's a secondary story. It's L.A., Giannis and Luka, and then it's how bad the Warriors are.
Yeah, poor Warriors.
It sucks, dude. I hate seeing it, but it opens up the door for a couple other teams. And listen, man, I watched this Nuggets team for a year. It's a really fun team. They just took it to the Celtics over the weekend as well. So
that was a tough game, but let's talk about that game. Connor, we were talking about Thanksgiving earlier in this podcast, and What I'm the most thankful for is that Kemba Walker is still alive.
I think it looked scarier than it was.
That was terrifying.
Yes, it was. I was actually out bowling, and I saw the replay on the TV at
bowling?
The end of the lane. Huh?
You were bowling?
I was bowling. Bowling for soup.
What'd you get?
I'm not good at bowling.
What was your score?
I got, we played three games.
Okay.
And I was under 100 in all three games.
Wow.
I'm not good at bowling.
You know good bowlers get like 200?
Yeah. I know. I'm a bad bowler. So I don't. Yeah, dude, just please get on me right now. Get it all out.
I don't have anything else. I'm also terrible at bowling. Were you drunk?
No.
Then why were you bowling?
Well, we were drinking, but I wasn't drunk.
Oh.
Huh. I have to be the boss, Mike.
Oh, you were with coworkers.
Yes, it was a staff outing.
Were they underage? Because it's your responsibility to buy them alcohol, if that's the case.
Shh.
I'm kidding. You don't. No, I just hit my microphone. You don't buy
of age.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about the Denver Nuggets versus Celtics game.
Me?
Yeah.
Down to the wire. I mean, the takeaway from that game is that Kemba Walker goes down, and Walker has been like, he's been the spark plug for this team consistently this season. We need a bucket, usually in the third quarter. That's when Kemba starts to heat up and gets going. Unfortunately, in this game, he gets injured. Was it a concussion? Was it vertebrae? I can't remember. He was in concussion protocol after slamming into the brick wall that is Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah, he was in concussion protocol and then ended up being a sprained neck.
That's, I mean, you see it happen in real time and he collapses to the floor. You're like, oh, no.
And then
I actually had a conversation with Rob about the Celtics and injuries. If you look at the Celtics history, injuries have been plaguing this franchise.
It's insane.
Forever.
Yeah, and about 40% of it is just Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, but it's like it's all star players too. Like,
yeah, it's all stars.
Bird's back. Gordon, you have Kemba now. Like, even Kyrie going down a couple years back.
Yeah,
like it's wild, dude. Absolutely wild. But without Kemba, it's like it's tough. And I will say these past couple of games, we have saw Tatum and Brown really start to step back up. And I'm telling, like, I'm so excited about those two moving forward, dude.
I love this team because, yeah, they had a losing record during this road trip. Mm-hmm. But they were all close games, and they played amazing defense, and they fucking cared. So the shots weren't falling. You were missing your two best scorers, though, so that's going to happen. But, Connor, I turned the game on to the Kings versus Celtics, and a lineup that happened was Tatum, Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters, Semi Ojeleye, and Lob Williams. How old is Semi Ojeleye?
Semi? 24, 25?
He's the oldest guy on the court for them.
It's wild. It's for a team that we thought was going to take a step back, and yeah, it's still early. To be the first, to be a top four team and be a really good top four team when fully healthy is exciting. And the fact that there's so many young guys on this roster that can step up and make a play, the fact that we're leaning to Rob Williams, who's a second-year player, or a third-year player? What year is he?
Second-year.
Second-year player? Tatum and Brown, fourth and third-year, respectively, leading the way. You have Marcus Smart as the elder statesman, but he's been on the team for 5 to 6 years. You have rookies that you're really trusting minutes with. Grant Williams is usually the eighth guy at the bench. Carson Edwards is getting a lot of run late. They bring down Tremont Waters, and he's getting minutes coming out of Maine.
He got 20 minutes.
He was up there with you.
He was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to see him. What's up with that?
I guess he doesn't travel to Bar Harbor.
Yeah, man, they don't come here much.
You should add him on Twitter.
But it was just crazy that I was watching my team that I love so much, seeing these guys that I didn't know before the game, and being like, I love this. I love every second of this. This is smart. Keep them in. Not, oh, this is silly. Let's put in the players. But also, a crazy thing that I noticed about my feeling towards the team was I saw Tatum with these guys, and I was like, I trusted him, and I was like, he's the experienced guy. He knows shit now. Oh, my God. Tatum and Brown are at a different level for me now.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm willing to put my faith in them.
They've grown up in front of our eyes, man.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing to like be a part of when you see guys that you saw drafted and went through the ringer with them. We all saw, like, Tatum didn't start right away as a rookie. He eventually got there as injuries piled up, but Jaylen Brown, he got his shine in the playoffs against LeBron. Tatum, obviously the dunk on LeBron in Game 7
incredible. A
couple years back, but we all had the hype, and then they all kind of fizzled out last season, as did everything with the Celtics. But to see them come out of that year and continue to take steps forward, continue to stride, people are like, why did Jaylen Brown get paid that much money? I'm sitting there like, shut the fuck up, everybody else.
Yeah, their whole point was that Buddy Hield got a smaller contract, but then Buddy Hield scored 11 threes against the Celtics. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but I'm also sitting there like, Buddy Hield's 27 years old.
Is he really?
Buddy Hield was a senior at Oklahoma when he got drafted, but he was like a redshirt senior, so he was like 23, 24 when he got drafted. So right now he's 26.
Wow.
Jaylen Brown is 22.
Yes. I mean, I love everything about Jaylen Brown, and I think he's an incredible player, and I think he still has potential to be Kawhi. So there's that. I'm like, maybe it's because Rob doesn't do the podcast anymore, and I just talk to you, but like, I want to apologize for being a dick to Marcus Smart. I'm like, every time he's on the court, I'm so happy he's on the court.
He's just doing his things. He shoots too many threes. We can all admit it.
I don't know. So that's why I just went on my phone, and I want to apologize about that, Connor. But I was looking at his stats.
I've been on my phone the entire time. Don't worry about it.
No, I know, but you're an asshole. It's different. But so I was looking at Marcus Smart's stats because I was talking to my friend, and I was like, he's been hot. It's fucking crazy when he does this, but we all know what happens. And he's like, I don't know, man. If you look at the stats, he's like a 35% three-point shooter. And we should trust him a little bit more than when we talk about it. And I looked at it. He's at it right now. He's at 34.2.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3-and-D guy.
Yes, he is. I mean,
he's doing his job. Like, we get pissed at him for taking some of these dumb threes, but he's doing literally what he's supposed to do.
He is, and he leads the team in steals.
Yes, he leads the team in
assists. He's recently got 5 assists on average this season. He's up there. Like, he's averaging 12 points, 5 assists. Like, he's what you need out of a role player. And he's getting thrusted into the starting lineup because of injuries to Kemba and Gordon Hayward. But the dude makes the most of it. The fact that this is, you need guys like this on your team to be successful. And the fact that Smart can hit threes at a league average clip and is not afraid to take them, but doesn't ever slow down, never stops that motor going. Battling against Kawhi. Can't wait till they play the Lakers because he's going to get in LeBron's business. He frustrates other teams. His hands are always going. It's intoxicating. He has spread this culture to the young guys. The fact that Kemba Walker's out there taking charges early in the season has me fired up. Marcus Smart, he's a true leader for this team, and it just shows across the board, especially in the guard rotation. Kemba, Smart, Wanamaker, like, they're all tough, hard-nosed guards.
Yeah, what I've been kind of, like, noticing this year with Smart is, I don't know, I feel like I sense this maturity to what he's doing now. I see it's a lot more calculated, the things he's doing. And in the past, it looked a little bit more sporadic and reckless. But like you're saying, when he gets in people's faces, when he draws these charges, when he just pisses people off, in the past, I was like, oh, it's because he's that scrappy Pat Beverly player. And now I'm like, Marcus Smart might be the smartest basketball player that I know.
He's super cerebral, dude. And that's the frustrating part with a guy like that who doesn't just, like, get buckets and use that, like, prowess for, like, his offensive skill.
Right.
And just use it for everything else. Another player, so I read an article about Grant Williams. And Grant Williams is very similar. And actually, Marcus Smart identified that. And he's like, I see a lot of him, of me and him. And he referenced that, like, during his first couple seasons, he was very sporadic. He was trying things out, but he was doing all these small little things, too, on the side to just try to play a role. And it makes sense. And Smart now, like, he does pick his spots. He's not just flopping all over the place, running around crazy. He's also in really good shape. The past couple seasons, he hasn't been in the best shape, and he's really gotten back into really good basketball shape. I think that he realized that there was a gap in leadership last season, and didn't want to step on anybody's toes, as a good leader does. And now he's seen the opportunity to take advantage of it, and he goes for it. He knows who he is. He's not a go-to scorer. He might feel like it sometimes, but he plays his role, and he helps the team win. There's no, you can't complain about a guy like that. You can't.
Yeah.
I'm buying a Marcus Smart shirt tomorrow.
You have, like, a big Amazon list of
I've actually have been on my phone and on, like, NBA.com/store 25% off. Use the code REUDOWNPODCAST.
And if it doesn't work, just buy it and then send us an email.
If it doesn't work, go onto one of those websites that has all the coupon codes. Link in my Facebook bio.
Oh, kayak.com.
That's for flights, you idiot.
Oh, damn. Okay, I don't need to talk about the Celtics anymore. I love them. I love you, Celtics. Thanks for being fun. Thanks for making me happy this year. And keep doing it. Everyone get healthy. That'd be fun. Don't hurt yourselves.
We need to watch a game together.
Yeah, we should talk about that. I think I'd like to go to one if I can, or if we can, when I'm home.
All right, we'll talk shop after that.
We'll talk shop about that. But you have one more thing you want to talk about, because tis the season. And tis the season for what, Connor?
It's cuffing season.
It's cuffing season. Tell me what cuffing season is.
Cuffing season, Mike, is the time of the year, typically as the weather gets colder, the holidays start to roll in, that people, usually between ages 18 to 30, start to feel some type of way and want to cuff. They want to get in relationships. They want to have a boo thing. They want to bae, whatever kind of term you want to use. They want to have a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Okay.
They want to hang out with people. They want to have someone they can chill with, watch Netflix, cuddle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And typically we see it from the girl side of all those things. Watch some movies, go do fall things, do some winter things, et cetera, et cetera. I want to give the guy perspective today.
Okay. Let me hear it.
So the guy perspective is very much those things as well. But it is just like, right, for me, it's a companion. Like, I need someone to hang out with. we talked about the giving season. It's very, the holidays, they change as you get older. You realize that it's not all about receiving things. It is fun to receive gifts. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you find more, like, you feel better about giving things. Celebrating the time with your loved ones. Being there with them. Enjoying those moments. And it is manufactured because of the holidays and all the fucking propaganda and media shit. But I look at this time of year as a time to give myself to someone else. Ooh. And that's what I want out of cuffing season. That's what I want. That's what the guy perspective should be. And is, I think, is that we really just want to give to something we care about, be it a relationship or a person or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know if that should be the guy's perspective or
Why
your
not?
Perspective. Because I think a lot of guys are assholes, and I think a lot of guys are horny. And
well, that's, don't be an asshole.
I'm not, well, I'm trying not to be an asshole. I'm just telling you that's the case. Can I be honest with you, Connor?
Go ahead.
When you said, let's talk about cuffing season, I thought you meant cuffing jeans. I genuinely did. And I was like, I could talk about this for hours.
You know you didn't.
No, I'm not fucking with you right now.
Get the fuck out. Is that why you said yes with all exclamation points?
Yeah, because I'm all about cuffing jeans right now. I'm literally, I'm rolling them up.
I am too. Let's talk about that. All right, so you definitely started cuffing jeans before I did.
I did. I cuff everything now. I'm cuffing dress pants, khakis, anything. Like,
see, I can't cuff dress pants.
It depends on the style. It depends on the type of dress pants.
I'll definitely cuff. So I have like, I have these black jeans that are super skinny. I think skinnier jeans are easier to cuff because then it feels more like a taper.
Well, so the confusing thing about our lives now is that you wear jeans tighter than me. I've stopped wearing skinny jeans.
Well, I think it really is because of my leg size.
But I also think you like skinny jeans.
I do like slim fit jeans.
I'm out of that phase.
They're just comfy, dude. I like them.
I don't know. They ride up a lot.
They do ride up, but you just roll them back down.
But yeah, so I've started cuffing all my pants, basically. And I think part of it, first of all, it saved me. So I realized I wanted to start wearing looser jeans, but I hated the look at the bottom when they're like, there's just all this room.
So yeah, so 2008 to wear baggy jeans over your sneakers.
So I started cuffing them. Then all of a sudden, it solved that problem. I didn't have to worry about the boot cut look or whatever. It's not boot cut, but the space.
I know
so
you're
that helped
about.
Me out. Also, I care a lot about my sock game.
The space.
So this gave me an opportunity to show off my socks a little bit better. And I've started wearing boots a lot. I have some nice boots.
So that then you're defeating the point of the boot cut.
No, I don't wear boot cut. I shouldn't have said that. I'm anti boot cut.
Dude,
boot cut's coming back in.
All of your fellow loggers up
boot,
there, man.
Boot cut is coming back in, and I am, for one, am offended.
Boot cut's coming back?
Yeah.
Ew.
I think for, like, females.
Well, good thing we're not females.
I know, and I try not to judge, you know, their fashion choices, because it's like, I want them to feel, like, happy and comfortable with whatever they want. But, like, that's fucking dumb. Don't wear boot cut jeans.
No, yeah. Can we end on a random aside?
No, let me acknowledge cuffing season first, though. Like,
well,
what you
can
mean?
Can I put an aside real quick?
Okay, put the side in, but
all right,
I don't
want to
end it there.
All right, whatever, man. You make the rules. How do you feel? So you say boot cut out.
Boot cut out.
But like I like skinnier jeans. And
yeah.
Like we all know like yoga pants and leggings and tighter jeans, like they really bring out characteristics of all body types.
Yes.
But for me, if a woman is wearing looser jeans.
Oh, yeah.
That's immediately like way hotter, right?
I'm in. Yeah. So that's also been a shift. Females, yeah, wearing looser jeans. I think it like takes courage, and I'm in.
They high waist them too, though.
You like the high waist, or you don't like the high waist?
I do, or I don't. If there's a little bit of bag going on, I'm for it.
Yeah, I think loose jeans are beautiful on women. But
agree.
Also, I think you know, let's be adamant. Whatever they want to wear, they get to wear.
Fair. Hey, I'm not complaining.
Right. Whatever they want to wear, they get to wear. But yeah,
I don't get that luxury at all.
You don't get that luxury at all.
No, I got to dress to impress, man.
Right, you're trying to show your butt off, right?
Every day. It's hard not to.
Is that you're proud? Is that what you're the most proud of? In your
My
lower
butt?
Half.
No, it's definitely my Cavs.
Cavs. Cavs are your number one. It's probably butt for me.
You got a perky behind.
Thanks, man. That means a lot.
Hey, no worries.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about what you're talking about, cuffing season. Cause, so what is cuffing season? You're saying it's like you... I don't get what cuffing is in terms of this.
Well, cuffing, so you frame it as cuffing because you're not getting into a relationship for the long term.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's a short term thing.
I see.
So you're trying to cuff onto something. You cuff them in, you lock them in for a short while. Get through the winter months. It's like hibernation, except there's other people involved and emotions, and you do get fat, but then you come out of it feeling worse about yourself. When the spring starts, it's a lot.
Good or is it bad?
It depends on your perspective and your experiences.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. So now I know what the terminology is, and I'm for that. That sounds great. You know, just finding companionship through this stuff. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I think that's true. I think people want to be able to share it. Not all guys are assholes, even though I said that earlier. Some people just want to feel love, even though that's temporary, because I think most of us are just, like, in constant fear about our future, and I'm projecting right now, aren't I?
Yes, I actually was just projecting earlier, too, so it's a projection kind of end of the pod. But no, it's just, like, also, this time of year kind of brings it out, because it's the holidays.
Yeah.
You feel a little bit more warmth in your heart. Just like the Grinch, our hearts will grow 3 sizes, and then we'll go see a doctor about it, because it's not natural.
It gives you an excuse to, like, find yourself watching a Hallmark movie and not being like, I'm such an asshole.
I will never watch a Hallmark movie. Stop you right there. No more. Nope. Hallmark movies are trash.
Yeah, they're trash, but you want one every year.
No.
Yeah.
No. I stick to the tried and true, like, Christmas movies.
You're like, oh.
Tried and true.
You're like, I know, like, they're not dating at the beginning, and she's, like, just asking for a favor, so... she can impress her family with his fake fiance, but then you're like, by the end, I bet they're going to be real fiance.
Can you stop talking about my novella that I'm writing?
And you're like, oh my God, Melissa Joan Hart's at it again. Sabrina the Teenage Witch was the best show ever. She can't be stopped.
She's in so many Hallmark Christmas movies.
She's in that one, at least. I don't. And the name is Christmas.
I think it's called The Santa Claus, but, like, the clause has got an E on it because he's a lawyer.
Ooh, love it.
You could that one's for free.
That one's great. Use that. Okay, we should end this.
Yeah, it's time to wrap it up.
Okay. Connor.
All right, Mike.
Happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, man.
Okay. Oh, happy holidays. Let's include
it. Yeah. Can we say that?
You fucking bigot.
Peace out, y'all. Take me